Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, again we are so happy to be in this house, Lord, that you have provided for us, and also brothers and sisters together, which is also a provision of grace, for we have not been left alone either as to your spirit, either as to kindred, but now in the family of God, great rejoicing, knowing you're in our midst here, Lord, and you're not ashamed to call us brethren. We're so happy for that. We're grateful that we are identified through the complete merits of thyself in Jesus Christ, and also because we are of yourself, fallen sons that have come back to a place of redemption. We're very grateful, Lord. Be with us in the service. May we rejoice together in the word of this hour to see it more clearly than ever, and know we are a part of it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, before we go to the message, let's go back in our minds and say, when did Brother Branham preach a sermon on Mother's Day? This is Mother's Day. Well, I know he did. But you notice at the end of the road, and I was around him quite a bit, and you heard the tapes too, that he honored Christmas and Easter above all others. He did preach special messages. Well, I went back to 1962, and I didn't find a Mother's Day message. But I also noticed that 1962 Mother's Day fell on the 13th like it does today. It has to be, because that's when he preached his sermons on Sunday, not so much on a Wednesday. So Mother's Day message in 1962, which, by the way, was the last May he preached in until his death. There was no following May messages. He was in Africa in 65, and he was nowhere to be found when he came to preaching in 64. And 63 also, I guess it is. So we go back to 62, and in there we find the way of a true prophet. Well, if that's good enough for Brother Branham, Mother's Day, it's good enough for me. So, hello, mothers. The Lord bless you. Have a great time in Christ. And that's it. Have a good dinner. If your husband's take you out, buy you dinner and corsage. But anyway, the way of a true prophet, and I'm going to start on page 8, although the text he takes from Amos starts on page 11. Now, last Sunday night, Brother Roy Robeson, and we're going to take our time. We'll get maybe 3 pages in, and that's it, because I've got a lot of scripture. Brother Robeson, I don't know if he's here. I can't make out enough to see that if he's here. He called me up and was telling me about the message, and someone called and said, I was wondering when you talked about God who gave us all things. See, he did. He gave us life, try to buy it. Gave us love, try to buy it. He gave us joy, try to buy it. Gave us peace, try to buy that. No way of buying it. Can't buy it. Then I said he gave us death. And someone called and said, Preacher, I wondered where you were going with that. He said, I thought, oh, here, Brother Branham tied himself up this time. Not when the Bible says so. See, the Bible said he gave us death. Well, what can we do with death? Well, that's scripture. He did say, I killed and make alive. And he brought death on the land and all. It was in his sovereign will. You know, Paul, coming to death, said, O death, where is your sting? Death doesn't control us. We control it. That's right. All things are given to us. And then I gave the illustration of how that Israel, on the march to the promised land, they had never seen that land. They knew nothing about it. Now, you'll notice also the millennium. We know very little about it. Now, let's get this flat. Jesus went over to the other land, upper and lower, Hades, right? And he came back, and he brought resurrected saints with him. But they have not been in a millennium. Neither Jesus experienced it, nor any Abraham or anybody else experienced it. So that's really something to look forward to. And we're all going to get there at the same time. Not even Jesus gets a march on us. And he made it. Nice thing. Something to think about. You know, you're just first-class citizens. You haven't considered yourself right there in the front lines because you keep looking back on what you were in a fallen state. Well, you are not in a fallen state. Now, as long as you're in a high, you're in a fallen state. And the United States, you're in fallen state. But you are in the kingdom, because Brother Branham said the kingdom has come when the perfect word has come and we receive it. So, we're in good shape. All right. Knew nothing about it. They had a promise of God. There was a land. It was full of milk and honey and a great good place. They never seen it. Nobody had ever been there or knew a thing about it, but they had the promise. Yeah. Now, what do you do with the promise? Does this make you realize the promise is so great that, hey, it doesn't matter what happens, long as we make it? See, Paul had this understanding, because he knew without the first resurrection, no millennium. I've always said, and you know my thoughts on the millennium, that it must be, it is deliberately left out in the sense of a real thorough description. Therefore, to me, it signifies a fantastic surprise element. And also, as Brother Branham said, you would have to be glorified to apprehend it or even begin to, you know, be a part of it. So it's a tremendous thing that lies ahead of us. And then again, it's only for 1,000 years. Or longer, because the word is millennia in the Greek, which means more than. And Brother Branham said, time does not run out with the millennium, because, although it's blended to eternity now, mind you, because the great white throne is there at the end. Now, what if everybody's got to appear, which they do? How long could that take? Well, zap, zap, zap. I don't think you'll zap it faster than that, even. Billions and billions and billions. And evidently they argue, because they'll say, Lord, didn't we do this and this and this and this and this and this? See, yeah. What if that took thousands of years? I don't know. There's a great day coming. It's going to last a long, long time. Amen. Yeah, you know, years ago, and my wife used to work in what they call the, I don't forget what the name was now, the provincial, it was a nut house for little kids anyway. That's why I married her, so she'd take good care of me. You know, for it wasn't nutty kids. It was kids that were, they weren't born with the proper mental attributes there. And so this one girl was teaching, and she talked about there was no night there. And a cute little fella, his name was Jackie something or other. And he listened attentively like he always did. He's looking up so attentively. And he went away, and he came back, and he sighed. Oh, he said, Miss Brown, he said, I don't think I want to go to heaven. And she said, Jackie, why not? Well, he said, there's no night there, and I don't think I could stand without sleep. Well, who wants to sleep when you get to the millennium? For the first time, you'll recognize every leaf on every tree is different from every leaf on every other tree. And for the first time, you'll know each little bug, each little butterfly. And each bird, and for once the blackbird will look nice. It's not that he doesn't look nice, there are too many of them. That's right. All these things are going to be in their place. Now, great place. Nobody been there, knew anything about it, but had a promise. That promise has got them out of the grave. They're waiting to go. See? By faith they sojourned right through the desert. And when they got to the borderline, they got to a place which signified crossover. It was crossover time in the element of time and in the element of conditions. But their condition wasn't right at that time, but just sort of forget that part and remember that everything is done in seasons. Like when Jack and I were talking last night, he said, when you read out of Wiest's translation on Peter, the epical season, he said, that did something for me. He said, nothing is done to understand it. See, it shows the prophet was right on his seasons, the word in the season, the hour in the times. And nobody gives credence to it. See, and, oh, look, everybody today can throw down the shovel when the whistle blows. But when the eagle screamed, they were just like Walker's dream. Everybody went on doing what he was doing. The prophet screamed out twice so the very earth shook. There it is. There it is. The riding of the trail. Nobody paid a bit of attention. But I'm going to tell you, they'll be looking up too late from the wrath of the Lamb. See, now they right to the border line. They had a warrior there by the name of Joshua. All right? What did Brother Branham call him? Warrior. Joshua means Jehovah's Savior. Now remember, Brother Branham said that Joshua was not a word giver as Moses, right? All right, then you can see right here that something is running out. The word has already been given. The descent was the shout. The next thing is the resurrection. The third thing is the rapture. And who is doing it? The great one who descended with the shout, which is a military command, who is putting everything into military order, the pillar of fire, God and the pillar of fire is taking us over. You show me where God ever left his people in exit without somebody. The prophet's gone. Who's here? God. We've returned to headship. Isn't that nice? We've returned to headship. The prophet said so. Don't let this go over your heads, brother, sister. Let it go in. The bride's not out of here for one reason. Her mind is still back there cluttered up. She is still polluting the bread of God with her own thinking. This is the thinking of God. It's on all my tapes that I've ever mentioned. Brother Branham said, Lee, all my thoughts are of God, and so are mine if I get the prophet's thoughts. Now, the prophet wasn't saying, Lee, God puts in my mind to have dinner. His stomach could do that for him because he got a law set up. He was speaking in terms of what we understand. So therefore, headship had come. And we were getting straight from headship by God's ordained method. Headship's own thoughts. Now they got to the border. And there was a warrior by the name of Joshua, means Jehovah Savior. Say, right, you need it to get you plumb in. See? Most people still can't understand. We're in transition. Brother Brown spoke on the token, the boxcar sealed. Everybody thinks, well, the boxcar sealed, hallelujah, why do you do the sealed boxcar? You shunt it on a track and let it sit there like fun you do. When you fill the boxcar, you hook it to the engine. I'm going home to glory on the Happy Day Express. The letters on the engine spell the name of the engine, J-E-S-U-S. Ha-ha. We're not back there somewhere thinking old theology. We're up in the new theology. Right. So, he crossed over the Jordan into the promised land and brought back the evidence that the land was there. I like it. Now we're going to ours, which is the millennium, which is resurrection. Jesus Christ has come back with resurrected bodies that don't fit anywhere. Oh, you say, Brother Bale, they fit in heaven only temporarily. Only temporarily. Only temporarily. Because, you see, we're dust. And we're going to be glorified dust, and we're going to get a glorified, resurrected earth. Because the earth went through the blood and the water and the fire the same as we're doing. It's beautiful, isn't it? All right. Now he said it was a good land. They had the proof there. They came back with the evidence thereof. There's evidence right there. Cameras caught it. Two men came back with two big grapes. Grapevine. Grape clusters. Was it two clusters? I don't know. Sure sounds good, though. Check it out for me. In case I'm wrong, doesn't make that much difference. Because there's no point in it. It was a good land. Two men brought back one bunch of grapes. Took two to haul them. I think, well, maybe there's only one bunch. I don't know. It's the same one. Anyway. Two different times. It was a good land. So he brought the evidence back, the evidence, the land that they were going to possess was there. Now we have the evidence through the prophet that we're going into it. Now to the church, we are journeying to a land of immortality. A land where there's no death. A land where the dead's raised up. And we had a great Savior in our camp. Jesus means Joshua's Savior, beloved. And he crossed the Jordan of death. Over on the other land, came back and brought the evidence that we live after death. Amen. So where is death at? Now, notice, if he is risen from the dead, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, if he lays the body aside and comes back in a pillar of fire to the Gentiles, he will do exactly the same thing, proving he is risen amongst us. We're crossing over. Now, who's going to take us over? He is. He's not gone anywhere, brother, sister. He does all three in descending. I want one person to show me where he came down, went up, came down, went up, came down, and that's it. And we go up with him. That isn't true. That is not true. If I found one thing the prophet said, I'd believe that, but I cannot find one thing. So where is death at? And then he gave us all things. That's exactly right. Because in him is everything. See, if you look at just one attribute, creativity, where is the limit to creation when he's infinite in both his mind and his resources? Now, I'll tell you what. There's enough of us here know what little kids can do. And they're pretty good with their hands, some of them. And I didn't teach school very long, but I taught it long enough, and Sherry no doubt will get a whole lot more experience than I had or want to have. But you give kids paper mache and various little things, plasticine or anything else, and what they come up with at the age of 6, 7, and 8 is so astounding. I walk away, and then I change my color. I become green with envy. And I become disgusted with their ability. Little jerks can do. That's the truth. What about God? Where does the kid come up with it? That's just some little thing God lets fly around here to let us know because we're sub gods. Sons of gods. Demigods, right. But what could God do? See, you got to think of these things, see? All things. Now, if that's just one thing that's in him that he gave to us, where do we stand? I hath not seen nor ear heard, and I don't know that it ever will. 30 trillion years? 800 trillion years? A Google of Google of Google of years? Light years thrown in for good measure? Do you think you'll ever be exhausted? Nah. How many trees have been in this world? How many snowflakes? Huh? Billions of tons of snow? Oh, billions of tons. Not one snowflake like the other snowflake. Who figured that out? Sheep, man, oh man. Listen to the genes, story. You get tired of my gene story? Well, if you do, plug your ears. The odds against two individuals being born exactly alike are astronomical, except in identical twins. There's no such thing as a true identical. There couldn't be. That is impossible. There are more than 8 million ways that 23 chromosomes of a mother and 23 of a father can combine. More than 8 million. The odds against any two children, of their two children having the same complement of chromosomes, are about 70 trillion to one. Man. And since each chromosome may have 1,250 genes, can't even see it hardly except for a high-powered microscope. You think you're complex. Take a look at God, honey. Ha, 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 we're complex with our stupid complexes, and God doesn't have any. Praise God for Jesus. Just love that man of Galilee. Each chrome has 1,250 genes. The odds against any two individuals reach a number so high, happy writ, as one followed by 9,031 zeros, and you just merely touch God. Because if he could do that through two humans, what could he do through four humans? Huh? It says their children. What could he do then through 1,000? Well, you're going to be in many, aren't you? You're going to be building houses, aren't you? Okay, well, let's start thinking now. What's it going to be like? You know what? For the first time, you're going to have fulfillment. What makes you rage anyway? Because whether it doesn't work out right, nothing works out right. It's not supposed to work out right. You're supposed to just roll with the punches and say, there's a great day coming, hallelujah, by and by. Great day coming in the land, we will not die. I'm in transition. See, this is the thing right here. This is the paradox. They say, what do you mean? I meant what I said. You can understand that, can't you? I'm in transition. I'm on my way. Time and eternity has blended. You say, prove it. I prove nothing. There it is right there. You say, I believe him. You're a liar. Because you don't believe what I'm telling you. I'm telling you what he said. He said, time has run out per se, which means time as itself as an element, which is simply measured by the roll of a planet, has run out. You're being involved in a higher factor. Yes, sir. Glory. You notice this morning there's no water in my gasoline to make this splutter. I'm fully assured. Yeah. Two men brought one bunch of grapes. A man and a woman could bring forth that, what I mentioned. One followed by over 9,000 zeros of complexity and combinations. Ha, then you think Rubik's Cube is something to thrill your heart? Oh, brother, listen. Let's get anxious to get over there. He gave us all things. Now we have the earnest of our inheritance. Why? Same Holy Ghost. Same Holy Ghost. If two people, and remember Eve came out of the woman came out of the man. If that can be produced by one man who is a sub-god, a demigod, and you've got a gene in it, what will happen when the light or the water or the spirit falls on the gene of the soul and transforms the body? Like Adam, you can name every beast. And you won't have to worry like the Hindu pushing the bugs aside unless you step on your uncle. No, you'll say, hey, little feller. You know all about him. Won't have to kill him, nothing to kill the millennium. No, everything's just terrific. Yes, there's just the right number of blackbirds, too. And they'll be all right. They're gonna get taken care of. I got to keep reminding myself of these things. That's why I keep throwing them in there. You know, it's a guilty conscience bringing it out. Oh, man, I look at those. Some like Brother Evans and those weeds he had in his bean crop two years ago. They got a purpose. I'm going to say what they are. Don't ask me. But everything's got a purpose. Everything is there just the way it should be. All right. He said that now we have the earnest of our inheritance. In so much. Now listen close. I'd like to preach on that subject. I would do a priest a bit on it, but I want to preach more by the grace of God. But I just feel, feels good to me right now, see, that we have the earnest of that. For one day we walked in sin, and after being baptized in his name, raised with him in the resurrection, that's spiritual, of course, we've been brought out of sin, never more want to go back again. That's right, see. We are raised from sin with the evidence that we have. We are potentially in the resurrection from all death, spiritual and physical, see. If we could raise from sin by faith in him, and if there is sin, who would want to go back to the garbage cans of sin again? Yeah. You feed a dog some good red meat. I'm going to tell you one thing. I don't care if he is a stray. He's got enough brain to stick around. Yeah. Yeah. That's the earnest. Amen. That's the earnest of the complete resurrection. See, your appetite's already been changed. And if your appetite has been changed, which was fitted for this, then you've got to have something else outside as your environmental milieu when you get changed in your body. Ha! How would I go around here with an incorruptible body eating corrupted things? Well, you say, well, if you did, it wouldn't hurt you. That's not the point. You know what the point is? I'll read the point. You love the Lord this morning? I just feel real good because the Lord's so good. And I love Brother Branham's sermons. They just tickle me up and down. I like to come here and read them when I sit in the middle by myself, you people singing, and good the Spirit of the Lord and His power here, giving Him preeminence. I just feel so good. I want to praise. So I get up here, and everything is just so good.
Amen.
It's just wonderful. Now, let me see what it says here. And it says, the woman saw the tree was good for food. Now, let's just pretend this was apples or oranges or something. But you can put it to the physical, and it brings out the same thing. But it says the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired. Well, you know, it tells you right there back in the Eden, they were synchronized to beauty. And then people look at women with those cruddy green and blue around the... Oh, come on, synchronized to beauty, my foot. And they say beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Oh, boy, what kind of eyes are looking on that junk? Not mine. No, Brother Branham even brought it down to the mammy cow. The old fellow sat there and was looking, sitting on the rail, looking at the heifers go by. And Brother, I think that one's the best. And he said, preacher, he said, you better stick to your preachers. You may know preaching, but you sure don't know cows. Why, he said, what's the matter? He said, that one's well built, everything else. He said, look, see the wild look in her eye? She ain't got it. Anybody ever had a cow with a wild look in her eye? So you're looking at one right now that had a cow with a wild look in her eye. And she would drag me across the prairie in her chains without even a fly biting her. She would take off and me digging my heels in it. Never mind what was going on in my mind and coming out of my mouth. That's sort of not bedtime story material. She wrap it around your head and she'd rip you. She would get in the ditch and take one look and gouge your head and pick your tail up and like that, man. Mother's Day sermon. Didn't know that was coming, did you? Said she'd never be a mammy to her babies. She hasn't got it. The eye of the beholder. Huh? You're going to see God in a male or female in character. You better have something inside of you to make the eyes light up the right way, right? Okay. All right. Now, this is all here. We're talking about it. Now, see, if we could raise up from sin by faith in Him, who'd want to go back to garbage cans of sin again? We have passed from death to life, see? That's the earnest, amen, that's the earnest and complete resurrection. All death, physically and spiritual, we done overcome spiritual death because we passed from death unto life. Now, don't get your priorities mixed up here. Say, we have overcome, we have passed. He done passed us. See how we've been? We have been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. Would anyone like to translate himself? I left my other glass at home. Would somebody please zip over and zap back with the speed of thought? These would do all right, but I like the others better. Nobody? Neither did you do one thing about your salvation. Now you desired. And God gave you a little will in there in the soul to make a decision in the gene that you had. And if you didn't have the right gene, you'd never make it. You ever seen people that you love and know to your brothers and sisters to pray to God, but never could get what you got? Why? My brother, to be honest with you, my brother was 10 times the man I ever been or ever will be. But he could never get what I got. That's why Jacob was a better man than Esau. Esau took care of his mammy and pappy. He loved him and everything else. No, Jacob left there gallivanting. He had to. What made it? Election. Based upon foreknowledge. And as Elijah went down to Jordan one day and struck it. That's with Elijah. He went down and struck it. And Jordan parted back. Then they crossed over. And Elisha came back with a double portion. When we strike Jordan with Christ, we got one portion. But when He returns, we're coming with two portions. And you got two evidences right now to prove it. I think I'm back to two bunches of grapes. I better look that up for sure. I like that. I like that thought anyway. One bunch. One bunch. Norman says he saw one bunch. Well, that was just one bunch could be carried by several men. We got several men carrying several bunches. All right. We won't argue the Bible. Okay. But when we return, two portions. We got eternal life, resurrection from sin now in righteousness with the Holy Ghost, and then on the return with Christ, we come with both physical resurrection And we already got spiritual resurrection. We have a double portion of it. All was a type of Christ and the church, Elisha and Elijah. Now remember, the Bible speaks of people at the end time twice dead. We're twice alive. Yeah. Oh, I don't want to get started on that, said Brother Branham. My. We get the 6-hour message there. Said. Now, death is nothing. We got it. It's ours. It can't control me. I control it. How? Through Him who made me an overcomer because I've already overcome death. How did I do it? By believing on Him. See? Death in sin, unbelief. I'm not an unbeliever. I'm a believer. I've raised from that thing. Resurrected. It's the earnest of all my complete physical, spiritual resurrection. Everything. Yes, sir. Do you get that? So, we do have death under control through Jesus Christ, who overcame death, hell, grave, sickness, sorrows, everything else, triumphed over all. And we are now risen with Him, sitting in heavenly places, spiritually speaking, in Christ Jesus with all things under our feet. Even the physical resurrection is under our feet. Because we're in Christ. Now, let's just take a little look at that here for a second in 1 Corinthians 15. And this is the time of the presence. It says that verse 22, as in Adam all die, in identical manner, in Christ will all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Now notice he tells you right there is an order. Now the order is what? Going into the millennium via the resurrection, and there's an order to it. Now, what took them into the promised land? A commander. A warrior. Coming down here to do battle for us. That's right. Okay. Now, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ said He's coming. Now, who was the leader? Joshua. Who is our leader? Jehovah Savior, Holy Spirit, right here in the form of a pillar of fire to take us in. Then that constitutes headship. And He is responsible for everything, even the logistics. No longer does an army or a soldier provide for himself, the state provides for it. Our general provides for us. See, the whole kingdom at our disposal. Now then cometh the end when He shall have delivered the kingdom of God, even the Father, when He shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for He must reign till all enemies are put under the feet of Jesus. Now it's going on now. There again I differ greatly with my brethren who do not believe what I believe. I say we are in transition. We have not been shunted to a railing out there. I'm going to tell you, brother, sister, as the saints on the other side are resting on the message that Brother Branham gave over here to get them out. They, in other words, that message is effective over there, then it's got to be effective here. And it's got to be more effective here than over there. Because we're the one that's getting it. See? All right. Now, even our physical resurrection under our feet, because we're in Christ. Do you get it? If you do, raise your hands. Amen. That's good. Just as long as you get it, that's fine. See, now just keep in your mind. Keep it in your mind. We have passed from death unto life, physical, spiritual, every way and everything, and all things belong to us now. It didn't back there. Only in a potential figure. See, keep the paradox in mind. There He stood, pillar of fire. Everything began to move. Chandelier strings. Reach his pocket. Pull out money. Tally bench down the road. Taking 5 million necessary. 5,000. Hundreds of thousands. A spirit's under his control. Stand back and forth. He couldn't miss if he tried. Completely dominated by God. Then the man says, I'll tell you what it's about.
He said, that ain't the way we heard it. Reverend Father so-and-so doesn't believe that. Don't believe the... Well, he's a prophet when he says
you know, those other things, but don't believe he's on the word. Paradox. I suppose the world stood back when Edison got the incandescent bulb, and they said, I'll tell you how it works, Edison. How? And they shut up. I like what old Smokey said down in Florida. Repeat my little story again. General Motors said, well, you know, we know how it is, you know, that you take the heat off the manifold and it vaporizes the gas and you get the miles. He said, I know you do, but you can't do it, can you? Amen. Bunch of jerks! Right, General Motors stinks. Stinks! Paid women to frame Nader. Now the FBI is pulling deals. You know why? Because they turned down the expert. Now they're stuck with the excrement of their own thinking and prejudices. Rotten ways. I've got no pity for America. People want me to be full of love. You get your own brand of love. If I've got to spit on Jesus Christ, and I spit on him enough, I learned bitter lessons the last few years, spitting on him and making him a liar. These guys can do what they want, but don't count me in. He said now. This generation shall not pass away. There's some be standing here and not taste of death. You do what you want with it. Time and eternity have blended, and time has lost out. So death has lost its sting. Huh? Well, huh? Now Adam was in sin. He said, lest he put forth his hand, and he lived forever, a period of time. And that period of time has run out. So now I can put forth my hand and live forever. And he made a way that I could have it in the right state and in the better state than Adam had. Now, if Adam's in the first resurrection, he is still waiting for the millennium. And I got news for Adam. He ain't going to get there one step ahead of me. Yeah, even Jesus has foregone. Even Jesus has foregone the joy of stepping ahead of us, unless it's by one step to lead us in. Firstly, I hope he's several steps ahead because I want to keep him in view and get a good look all the way. While the whole world out there is saying we're crazy, paradox, yet the whole world belongs to us. You say, I don't know that. I do know it, because that's what the book of Daniel says. And under the fourth kingdom, we own it all. Under Rome at the end time, it's ours. But I don't want it at this point. Personally, I want to get out of here and come back. You know what? I'm going to tell you something. Now, you women will all agree with me, because there's no man here that is good enough to remodel a house while the family still lives in it. Phooey. Oh, brother. Don't talk to me about that again. The best way is 10 pounds of dynamite. That don't do it by 20. But I'll tell you what. That's what I'm looking at right here. Death is, the paradox shows us absolutely that though we own the kingdom, it's ours, in the condition it's in, we don't want it. Let the fire remold it. Now, listen. While the world out here is saying we're crazy, and yet the whole earth belongs to us, so they're under us. Now they'll learn to shut their mouths and respect us. But it's all right. They didn't respect him. They don't respect us. John said so. How are you going to inherit it? When, as I said, Abraham, see, he was in the promised land. God gave it him. Lot was taken by some renegade outlaws, took away. That was his nephew. All right. Everything that was in that land belonged to Abraham. So Lot belonged to Abraham. Now watch. So Abraham wasn't a warrior. He never did fight. He didn't have any warriors with him. He had some servants. And when he had seen that something, the devil had come and robbed him of something that was a promise to him, he armed his servants and took an arm himself. What did he say? Joshua is a warrior. God's king of Salem, right? But he sure can fight. God is a mighty warrior. Bible says he is. That's when an angry captain rises in rage and comes down. So we have Melchizedek amongst us. We have the judge amongst us. We have the warrior amongst us. You think the warrior hasn't showed his colors? What about March of 64 in Alaska? What about the prophet saying, I don't pray for America? Do you think he's unkind? All right. Like Lot, we're down in Sodom. We're not a part of it. Abraham didn't know how he was going to overcome this whole company of kings. Just a handful of servants. But God told him how to do it. And he divided himself and slaughtered the kings and came back triumphant. Now, what does a good general do? He puts everything in ranks and divisions. And we get that word properly divided, brother, sister, which is the key of this hour. So we do not compare with Cain, but we compare with Abel. We go right back to the original human born. Because Adam and Eve were the first and only that were not born. Personally, I don't care if they had navels or not. Not interested. I suppose they didn't. I think Brother Brand said they didn't. It doesn't bother me one bit. I'm not interested. I believe the record. They were the two that weren't. We are. See? Now, when the church, which was born in sin, and we're all worshiping the iniquity, coming to the world speaking lies, truly right with God in the church at the end time, has the proper division, which means headship, leadership, a preeminence, a dependability, a dependence upon, that bride becomes invincible. Now, why? He had his faith upon God's promise that everything in that land was his, and Lot was part of it, was part of the land. Now, see, you're getting into the fact right there of getting bodies out of the ground, too. See, you understand that, the type? Oh, my. There he met Melchizedek. King of peace, king of righteousness, but he teaches my hands to war. I didn't mean go busting people's noses in, causing fights. Hands represent what you do. Feet represent where you walk. Mind what you think. Ears what you hear, eyes what you see. In other words, complete spiritual motivation, aligning with the Word. Because as God is three things, He is Word, He is Spirit, He is Love. You cannot take one of them from the other. They must all blend. You get Spirit outside of Word, you're messed up. You get Love outside of Word, you're messed up. You take straight Word without with strictly letter. you don't have the love of God, the other in there. There's a problem. Over. Couldn't you just see Abraham coming up the road? He didn't know he was a warrior, but he knew then that he was. Warrior taking in, a warrior people. The bride is as clear as the sun, as fair as the moon, as terrible as an army with banners. Bible says so. Not out there to fight and destroy. Stand with him, knowing he'll bring her out. Abraham, at the time of the visitation, which would shortly bring into existence the promised son in flesh. Didn't know at that time he was a warrior. But he stood up for God and his word and went down and got Lot out. And yet people can't stand the term in the message. They can't stand anything. And I can't stand them. I'm sorry. I don't want to make you like me. I just voice my thoughts. Yes, sir. He met the one who gave the promise, Melchizedek. Promise giver, king of peace, king of righteousness, made Abraham a warrior. Cursed is the man whose sword does not draw blood. Not out to kill. But isn't it strange how you're branded the killer when you stand up for the word? Let me tell you something. The church started in the Gentile age in confrontation through a man who taught other men what other men did not know in the way that this man knew it, and I'm talking about Paul. And he confronted Peter, who forgot to forget what was behind him. Peter turned back. I'm not blaming Peter. I'm just telling you something. Look, brother, sister, you know why people believe this is the Bible? What Brother Branham quoted from quoting other men. Nobody but nobody would spill the beans on himself the way this Bible spills the beans. Nobody would open the closet doors and shake the skeletons. And said, this little wound here is because, you see, he got involved with this and this and this. And he went down here and this and this and this. The Bible does. And the Bible tells how that Peter was to be blamed. Now, Peter wasn't deceived. He knew better. Isn't it strange to know that Brother Peter, who opened the door with the vision, called that not uncommon or unclean which God has cleansed, and he got up and said, I perceive that God respects nobody but loves everybody, then turned around, went back on his own word. And it took somebody with more of everything, in a sense of the word, just in the sense of the word now, because he was adapted to a special principle that Peter wasn't. Came down and said, now hold it. And we have a man in our midst just like that in William Marion Branham, prophet of God. And I hope before God there is a fivefold ministry of some description that comes within at least a trillion miles of the prophet. Now, let's read out of the book of Amos. Well, we're doing great. As usual, right on time. 4.5 hours late. I'm going to speak this morning, not 6 hours, though. I hope not, see. I didn't say that. William Branham said it. The way of a true prophet. And tonight, Lord willing, letting off the pressure. Lord willing. Now, I'm known to be a critic, but I'm not critical, only anything that's wrong. See? Bye-bye. Now, we should criticize wrong. Hey, wrong, where are you? I'm over here in the sawdust pile. Hogwasher in the manure pile. Ooh, strike that off the tape, but not at this minute. Well, come on. Come on. Where's wrong? Well, brother, there what happened was God didn't make any cactus in the Garden of Eden, but one day the devil got there and he took those leaves and rolled them, and Adam, you know, he plunged his hand in the cactus and he just screamed out anger. You're a liar. It was Adam's sin that brought on the cactus. Right? All right. Where's wrong? Off the word. Okay, who's off the word? I said the tree. Come on. When Brother Branham exposed a cancer spirit, he said, there's a one over there getting nervous and he's calling for help. Who got together? Cancer spirits. I know I'm nasty. Look, should we go home? I can quit preaching now. I'm too late to be saved or redeemed. I got sealed in somehow to what I'm into. I don't get my attitude as though I just rough and corn copy, because I don't mean that. But look, brother, sister, something is settling to this hour where I can't help myself and you can't help yourself, because time and eternity has blended. And even at the white throne, it is all over, but saying this and that. Don't kid yourselves, honey child. Don't kid yourselves. I've been preaching pretty straight here. One day I'm going to just read the Ten Commandments, say you do what you want. That exposes you. Not hard to hurt anybody. Just too late in the day. Maybe I'm crazy. I wouldn't say I wasn't. I'll pass every test, I believe, as far as just being a fairly decent person mentally. Now, criticize wrong. Who do you love more? See, that's the thing. Now, I want to read from Amos the third chapter. Yes, third chapter. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have thine own of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for your iniquity. Can two walk together except they be agreed? What did God say to William Branham if perchance in October of 23, 1964, that Brother Branham was approached by God? He said, would you like to take a walk with me? Well, wouldn't that be nice? No more bunions and no more fallen arches. Because, you see, we're in agreement now. Hogwash. It was all in the mind. And in the spirit which is in the mind and in the soul. For the eyes of the heart had been illumined, the same as yours and mine. Now let me tell you, when that prophet stood before the pillar of fire, and God said thus and so and this and that, he heard it for the first time. And therefore he was not one step ahead of us when we listened to him and we heard it for the first time. We're marching to Zion, beautiful, beautiful Zion. Jesus doesn't get to the millennium ahead of me. Brother Branham doesn't get there ahead of me and you. Yep. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They're agreed. Do you agree the prophet was right? Then you're walking with God. God gave a little sign one day and Moses said, hey, he said, isn't that strange? Why, he said, there's a fire in that bush. That's not the sun, he said. No, sun's over there. Fire in the bush. He said, I think I better check that out. And God said. And of course, Moses should have said, well, ha, ha, ha. I've been down in Egypt all these years. They got a lot of funny things down there. So what's this? There's got to be a fella in another bush, and he's projecting his voice. He's a ventriloquist. Don't you think they understood the sun so they used heliographs and could flash the light? Oh, sure. I can take a bit of mica, if it's just right. Things in nature. Get it in tune with the sun, and I could start grass burning the same as I take a mirror. So Moses could have said, I'm a very brilliant person. I didn't get fooled by this stuff. What was in Moses and what was in the bush that said, hey? That's gone.
That's right. Amen.
Yeah. Walk together. Will a lion roar in the furnace when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he's taken nothing? Will a prophet come by as simply a windbag in a big mouth if God hasn't talked to him? Now, there's lots of windbags in the ministry. I could be number one. You deal with the prophet William Branham. Word of God says he can't open his mouth. All this, it's of God. Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where there is no gin for him? In other words, you are looking at things that happen. Stand still and watch. And when you do, get your own thinking out of the way, because just in case, somebody else's thinking can be right. Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have nothing at all, taken nothing at all? In other words, keep setting the snare out there, it'll get something. He's telling you there's a continuity with God. He keeps moving, moving, moving. He'll get what he wants. Shall a trumpet be blown, the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be even the city, and the Lord hath not done it? In other words, something which is on the cataclysmic nature, something entirely out of a human realm. Oh, they'll stand back and try to explain it. Like the fellow said, well, that's hypnotism. So Brother Branham word, and he said, well, you know more about it than I do, than you hypnotize and get him better. Of course, the doctor repented. I never heard the fellow in Bloomington, Illinois, or Indiana, he was Indiana, not Illinois, repenting. When Brother Brown was discerning, he said, hypnotism. Brother Brown looked down. Well, he said, you ought to know more about this than I do. You come up here and do it. Like General Motors went down. Big General Motors. Where's billions? And those great brains up there are going to share, what, hundreds of millions of dollars because they're so brilliant on stockholders' money and all, and on Iacocca's genius and on Reagan's and Stockman's, and they're going to blame it on themselves. And they came down and said to Smokey, well, we know all about it. He said, well, then do it. Well, we can't do it, but we know that you ain't right anyway if you can do it. Surely the Lord will do nothing. Now watch. But he reveals his secrets on his prophets. What secrets? What's behind the doing? Paradox. William Branham, you can do it, but so much for your explanation. Jesus the Christ, we know you can do it. Trouble is you do it too good. Whatever our prophet's head ran out. Now, if we can't do it to him, or we can't do it like him, and something should happen to him, and if we believed him, then we'd be stuck. So let's not fool, let's get rid of him. At least we got the status quo. Brother Branham said there's a secret behind the secret. Huh? And he preached Paradox. The end of the 1965, the start of his last year. And he ended with a rapture. Death and a rapture. The lion has roared. Who will not fear? Oh, not us. William Branham, a roaring lion? Ha, 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 ha. A soaring eagle crying, ho, 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 ho. Fact. Let me tell you something. If I wanted to be real cruddy, which doesn't have to try too hard. Everybody missed that. And I wanted to give the Branham message a slap in the face. There's nothing to it. Because he's part Indian. And what was handed down from his Indian ancestry, he could have been a great shaman and dealt with spirits. And he went to Tucson, where the Indians were famous for calling the spirits. And I could say, well, fact. Things have happened all along. What he says about what is happening doesn't necessarily mean it's so. Because, you see, we see these things over on the other side. And after all, If this were really a God, he would have come to me and us. Right? But it's wrong. I don't care if William Branham was 140% Indian. Because no Indian ever did, or a whole tribe ever did what he did. Then you read up on Tecumseh and his funny brother, the prophet. You'll find Tecumseh was more prophet than his brother. And Tecumseh couldn't do it. And no Indian ever did it. No shaman ever did it. No witch doctor ever did it. Because, you see, he tied up the shamans and the witch doctors. And the devil's not divided any more than God is. But the church is divided. I'm Methodist, I'm Baptist, I'm Presbyterian, I'm Pentecostal, I'm one, I'm two. You mean you are that exactly. All right. Who will not fear? Now listen, the Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? He said, I'll talk to the four pillars of the building, but I'll talk. And I'll wake my wife at night and I'll talk. Now he said, this is a mighty strange doctrine you're going to hear, he said, about the rapture. Might well disagree with it, he said, but he said, I just am a sincere person. I just can't come and talk for the sake of talking. And I'd like you to know that I want to tell you something. This started to happen. And they got the giggles. Here's Amos, he said. His eyes must have gotten narrow. As he stood that morning on the hill just beyond the city of Samaria, I can see his steady hands as it moved through his gray beard. The hot sun was shining down. He wasn't too glamorous to look at. How different from the modern evangelist today. His clothes were rugged, shaggy-looking beard. Looked down the city of Samaria, his eyes getting narrow as he looked. He wasn't much to look at, but he had, thus saith the Lord, for that nation. It was a lot different for this oncoming campaign. Now, he talked about a military man, military campaign. He got into politics, discussing the Kennedy thing and all. That's another type of campaign. Then there's a religious campaign, soul-winning campaign, this kind of campaign. What kind of campaign is this? The campaign is to set a people right with God by a prophet. But nobody wanted it. They wanted Brother Branham for a great campaign, like the preacher said over there in, not Terre Haute, but South Bend, Indiana. Why, he said, we'll bring Brother Branham in, and he'll bring the crowd, and we'll take it from there. Brother Branham gave the Assemblies of God, he said, 750,000 converts. They took it from there. Now, look, I'm responsible for what I preach here. I'm going to have to answer every single one of you. Tapes and all. Thank God I'm not the Assemblies of God. Because from there, 750,000, they went to millions and millions. They came in the second and third generation. It was a lot different for this oncoming campaign that the Lord had sent him to Samaria for. Now remember, Samaria was known as the bastard camp. They were Gentiles and Jews combined. And at the end time, the church and the whole bunch together is hybridized. He wasn't He wasn't equipped for such a revival as we would think. See? As we would think what? He should be today. Now, we must learn to know what God gives us and how He wants us to use it. This is what people don't understand, see? But remember, He wasn't a modern evangelist. He was a prophet. Remember, he was a prophet, but he did the work of an evangelist. He had to warn souls. William Branham had to do the same thing. He did not care about modern equipment. He had thus saith the Lord. Brother Branham said, I can go to any little town, half a dozen people. He said, I don't have television, radio, and great big tents and offices. He said, that's all right. He said, for those that got it, that's fine. But he said, my ministry's not that way. And he's telling him right here, I got thus saith the Lord. Are you catching on? Don't you know I'm like Amos back there? I'm back in that group. You see, he was back to Alpha. He was back to the Alpha because everything the modern evangelist has, God made it by his word. And now the same word was here that was responsible for even the tents that were made out of plastics and compounds and all that God put on the earth and natural resources. The word stood here now and said, you don't need it because I'm the one that said, behold, I create all things new. I'm back here to finish what I started in the Garden of Eden. The greatest thing is back to the word, and they didn't catch what he was saying. He didn't care how he looked, how much fashion he had, or he was dressed like, whether his hair was combed right, or whether anybody looked at him or not. Now, don't carry this too far, because we're going to read more about this and get into it. I don't want anybody coming out of here as though you just got out of bed with your hair rumpled, you look a mess. You've got clean clothes and you wear dirty ones. So don't read this backwards and wrong now. Just get an idea that you're supposed to come out wobbling like a half-wit or something. Or you'd be like the girl with the two hula hoops. You see her picture in the paper? She could whirl two hula hoops, but she couldn't put two socks on the right color. One was the black and one was the white. And the guy took the picture just for that very thing. So we don't want any hula hoop operators here that are so heavenly minded and earthly good. I have been stuck accidentally in the dark by putting different colored socks on. Even picked up one different shoe one time, but thank God I saw it. And I think my wife went out one time, started about one time with two different shoes. Whether she caught it or I caught it, it was caught anyway. If I caught it, then she caught it. And if she caught it, she didn't catch it. You know what I'm talking about. All right, he had the word of the Lord, and that was his full objective, bringing the word of the Lord. In other words, what he's saying, he did not involve himself per se as a personality or an oncoming person that would be attractive to the people. He wasn't a crowd pleaser. He had the word of the Lord. All right. We're sure way behind, but that's all right. As soon as we get to 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, we're quitting. All right. He had the word of the Lord. And that was his full objective, bring the word of the Lord. Who was this fellow? Yep, it was Amos the prophet, rugged individual, but he knew where he was standing, knew what he was doing. He was a true prophet of the word. How could he be anything else and be a prophet of God if he didn't have those two attributes in there? Know where he stood and what he was doing. Yet they wrote books as though Brother Branham didn't know what he's doing. I wish you'd have been there the day he looked a hole in me, and I mean looked a hole right through me. I was like a piece, not like a piece of Swiss cheese. I wasn't even like a sieve anymore. I was not even a window with a pane of glass in it. He went plumb to my soul. That's the funny thing of the whole thing. How come the people try to say that what was said about a woman looked in my soul and found it black as night? When he looked in my soul that day, and believe me, he did. He searched me from one end to the other a full 3 solid minutes while I sat there dying. Then he relaxed. Because my stupid mouth had shot off with one of my stupid reverse compliments. It's okay to do it, but not to a prophet, honey. You're in trouble right up to your ears. No. Now, the reason he had come to this city was because the word had come to him. He didn't go to Jerusalem, it was Samaria. When the word of the Lord comes to a true servant, he must go regardless of circumstances, regardless of difficulties. He must go anyhow. Whether he's prepared, whether he feels like it, whether he wants to, whether whatever more, he must go anyhow. It's God speaking and he must carry this message. He never goes for foolishness, never goes for money, never goes for popularity. He's got a mission. He's sent of the Lord. And he is the word of God. Now listen. And he is the word of God. The prophet is the word of God because he's carrying the word of the Lord. That is the true prophet of the Lord. Now listen, this is a very solemn warning to everybody, as well as a fivefold ministry. but is very solemn. Now listen, and he is the Word of God because he's carrying the Word of the Lord. That is a true prophet of the Lord. My text is the way of a true prophet of God. Now he is the Word because he's carrying the Word. Now that doesn't make him God per se, but he is the Word. Now, this great fearless man of God prophesied in the days of Jeroboam the second. I've got part of Amos' history written out here before me. Amos prophesied about 13 years of his campaign. Now, Jeroboam too was just about as smart and able a man as Israel had for some time. He was a man that had brought prosperity to Israel. Israel was all flourishing. But something was wrong with Jeroboam. He was an idolater. Now, I kind of reading this the other day, kind of thought this was pretty fitting today. Remember the words now, today. No matter how smart a man is, now that's today, how much he can do, and how much prosperity, if he gets away from God, he's a debt to the nation, away from God and His Word. What about the full gossip businessmen? They are imitating the fishers of men, the Baptists and the whole bunch, businessmen. Oh, great men every now. I'm a businessman. And I've got money. Hope you got that. Are you attentive now? Thank you. I am an important man. I'm anointed with money to serve God. Oh, Lord. This burns me to a crisp, brother, sister. I've been with those birds. I watched them. The four gospel businessmen followed suit. Trinitarians. Yeah. One man says, he said, I'm probably the richest man here. I'm worth $4 million. I thought, wonderful. Do something with it. By the time I got home, there's a letter in the mail asking me for money. Well, if they had so much, why'd they want mine? Because they want it all. What's the difference between a rotten Christian and a rotten non-Christian? Except one's a hypocrite. Don't give me that stuff, brother. Sit. I've been all through that. Crap, trap, and balderdash. Look at. Now listen. I wonder if it isn't fitting to us today. In other words, it's worthy sort of an anti-type of that back there. To someone who loves to sit on television and show how smart they are, how much brains they got. Now he talked about a campaign. Remember Kennedy and Nixon? Their debates? You know what I read the other day? McDonald's spends $186 million a year in advertising. I wonder how much altogether these candidates are spending. And most of it tax money. Because everyone was pretty well put a little box. Yeah, I'll give them a buck or two, you know, might as well. Spending the money. They're projecting something. See? Now, he was smart, all right. If you think Kennedy's smart, you ought to see Trudeau. Israel was in a backslidden condition. Her preachers, her priests, her government had all left the Word of God. Now, they didn't believe that they'd left the Word of God. They believed they were with the Word of God. That's paradox. Now, this is a true case of legalism. They are self-righteous. They talk of a sacrifice, a mediator, an intercessor. Then turn down the provider of it all. Yeah. They turn down the provider of it all. For God is in the prophet. There are not several kinds of words in my book, brother, sister. The Word of God that says, the love work of no will to his neighbor is the same word that said, let the waters be divided. There's no difference in the word. It's just the difference of where the word was to go for what purpose. But it's all one word. like Brother Branham said, law and grace are the two phases of a one word. Legalists. Why were they wrong? No, first of all, now they don't believe that. They believe that they were with the word of the Lord. But there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. But the end thereof is the ways of death. Now they thought the rapture was their way of going. Brother Brown said that's not the way it goes. Then are they going to be in it? The answer is, listen, brother, sister, for God's sake, let's get to this point because I don't want to condemn anybody. But just answer me one question. If it doesn't matter, why did Brother Brandon preach on it? I want to know. Why did he bother preaching? Look, I got enough trouble now. Look, if my house is full of cockroaches, you're going to say, Brother Bill, you have never, ever seen this tremendous cockroach I have. I'll turn it loose in your house. Oh, God. I've got a million cockroaches now. We want one big enough to eat the cat. I'm serious. What Brother Branham said to get me, I'm confused enough now. Listen, I'm not a prophet. I teach a little bit. I've got a little tiny gift of some sort. I'm not here to confuse you. I'm trying to help you. Now, but I'm just confusing you. I'm sorry. Nothing I can do about it because I'm not confused. I'm in a rapture right now. I don't care what anybody says. Time and eternity blended. It has to be. Space no longer matters. Matter doesn't matter. You say, how, Brother Bill? I don't know! I'm not God! I don't have a thing to do with carrying out his word. That's his business. I'm a nut in your fruitcake, sure. If we're not a walking paradox, what are we? Okay. Why were they wrong? How could a man bleed that which wherein they thought they believed right that they were wrong? A whole priesthood of men. Thousands of preachers and priests and kings and governors. Now remember, there in the Catholic Church, the Bible says the end time. All who profess to be worshipers of God, and yet all of them were wrong. Amen. Not one was right. All right. You say, hey, you're trying to make a prophet as right as God. Well, he better be. He had better be. Or shut his mouth. Now, I'm not a prophet. I can get away for a little bit because I got to watch and then God brings me around. I'm not afraid of what I preach. They didn't need a king for prosperity. Why? The son of prosperity wants to lead us into the millennium. They don't need it. What they needed was a prophet. Because the word of the Lord, or the interpretation, either one, of the word of the Lord comes to a true prophet. Sometimes you can see what his way is then. His pretty rugged way, when all the priests, all the preachers, all the diviners, and the government itself against him. But yet the word of the Lord comes to the prophet, and that alone, he has the right word, although they had the same Bible, and he had the same Bible they had. But the word of the Lord was to him, was vindicating that he had the word. Paradox. Oh, how they love the vindication. But how they hate it. What the vindication was all about. See? In other words, the people had the wrong interpretation. And when the vindication come to point them to the right interpretation, they were like the people that went to the bus depot. And there was a sign said, to the buses. And they jumped on the sign. Instead of the bus. That's not originally me. A preacher said that, and I just took it from him. He wasn't originally him either, I guess. We're not going to have time to get into Isaiah 29 and read it all, so I'm just going to let this next paragraph go. But we're down at the bottom of page 13. That's very good. Five pages. All right. 5 pages. We're down here to the bottom. I'll put a little nine mark here. Now we'll continue. On Wednesday or whatever day, if I'm not here Wednesday, there'll be a message. There'll be some service on. I'm still trying to get away. And I don't even care to go away. but because it means three times the work of God here. This ain't work, this is pleasure. And I may feel beaten down afterward, but I sure feel good right now. So that's great. I feel great right now. I love you all. Lord, love you. And I know that you know that I love you, and I know that you love me. And the reason we do it, because we love him who is the Word. We have our headship as a man, believing a prophet of God, because he's the last of the fathers, as far as we're concerned, the prophets. For he's children of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe absolutely that God sent him. We believe that his word is the word of God to us. And he gave us the word that said, I call you bride, don't call you saints anymore. And he said, you're the perfect righteous bride of Christ. He even broke the whole thing down, said it's all been sent back to Satan. And so we ought to be so rejoicing in the goodness of the Lord that sin does not have dominion, that we can live in victory. I know there's a lot of things in life that we really enjoy, but they're going to be as though they didn't exist. You say, Brother, why is that? Because the thing that's coming is so much greater. You say, oh boy, oh my. I can see why I had to get a change, because without the change, it would be just too much for you. It's just too wonderful. You know, like they made a little test years ago. This fellow, Dr. Conant, told East Bay Bible Institute, Moody Bible Institute, way back in about 1900 and what, 38, 39. He came up to Canada. And he said they made a test one day. They put a beautiful lily out. Beautiful lilies. White, snow white, Easter lilies. You know the lovely lilies? And you know what they did? They brought a little girl and some little kids in who had been playing in the mud. And the little girl stood there and her hands were in front of her. And she looked at the lily and she looked at her hands. She put her hands behind her back. Yeah, that's right. These little kids, they know. They know. And I'm going to tell you one thing. That's why you got to become a little child. You just realize in the presence of something that is as great as we saw and we know, you stand back with your hands behind your back and you watch and you know that God's going to do something for you. He's got to do something. You're not fit to do it yourself. It's not as though you're not fit in the sense, well, hey, every son is an heir to God. It's not that I'm talking about the fact the state we were in left us in an undone condition that God said, look, I've got to do something special. And he did it. Now that the special thing is done that God's own heart demanded of God himself. God's own faith is in it. There is no way we are going to miss it because it's all in his hands. See, that's the way it is. Amen. Let's rise. Gracious Heavenly Father, created heavens of the earth, God of the universes. How many there are, we don't know. But you're there and now you're here. And we know you're here, that you're putting everything in order. We stand blindly with it. That actually, at this hour, we believe, Lord, that you are here in a way that the prophet described, the same one that brought the word, is here revealing the word. And the same one, therefore, that maintained the word, is here now drawing it to a conclusion. And that conclusion is unto us, upon whom the ends of the ages have come, church ages, and all these various things. And we know, Lord, you're in process of bringing us into that place. And Father, today, if there's anything within us of a spirit that's malicious, or it would be one that rises up to aggrandize itself in pride, as though we were different from other flesh as far as pertaining to the flesh, or of others who have been saved and whatever, Father, you know our hearts, and we're trying to clear a record concerning our hearts, to get our hearts really right with you. That we put it all back on you, Lord. We didn't know what was under our noses. And we wouldn't know what's behind us. But you worked it out. And now, Lord, by grace, and only through the fact of you involved in all of it, and we, Lord, are like the conduits. Hopefully that's exactly the way it is. The paper, a letter written on, a channel, a vessel. Now, through all the grace, we look at what is for our benefit, under our eyes, as it were, very noses, watching this, knowing that this is how you do it, and we're a part of it. And we're moving on in. And Thank you for helping us not to look at ourselves. Judging ourselves, yes, by the Word. The full Word. Not law, grace.